The law of averages dictates that at some point the weather inland will turn warm again, hot in fact, and quite dry. There will be a fire season, and it could be a severe one. Firefighting agencies across the West are girding for a tough fire season. The warnings to help prevent or at least minimize the impacts of fires have been going out for weeks now, months in fact. The warnings include the reminders to provide defensible space for rural homes, so if a fire comes by, it'll take the vegetation, but leave the house. Kristen Babbs is with the Keep Oregon Green Association and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Kristen, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us a bit about the Keep Oregon Green Association, if you would.
Well, we've been around since 1941, and KOG was originally charged to fight fires with publicity. Those three words are the registered trademark of our association. We're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation association that conducts a broad wildfire prevention program, and it's designed to educate the public in the prevention of human-caused wildfires and really work to protect Oregon's forest, rangeland, and agricultural assets.
So there are going to be standard messages, obviously, coming out of Keep Oregon Green every year. How much do those get tweaked year by year for the specific circumstances?
Well, it's not rocket science. It doesn't really get tweaked too much from year to year. I mean, when we think about defensible space, it just simply means, you know, maintaining the landscape around your home to reduce the fire danger and provide safe access to firefighters so they can protect it. So, you know, we're advising people to start looking at their house and work their way out, you know, out into the landscape. Look at the roof to the foundation and 30 feet out at least.
Are there any figures available on how many homes exist in the urban wildland interface areas in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, there are over about 350,000 homes in the wildland urban interface, so that's a concern to us. You know, we can have wildland fire here. We are definitely, all indications are pointing to the fact that we are facing the same similar drought conditions as we had last year. And we've got the forests, we have the steep slopes, we have the dry, hot summers, and we continue to see growth and development expanding into the wildland urban interface.
That was the next question. Is it safe to assume that there are more of these homes all the time?
It's happening. And so our challenge is that, you know, we've seen, you know, 100 years worth of fuels accumulation in our forests. And so not only do you have the vegetative risk, but you have the constructed risk as well, meaning that combustible fuels of the home itself. So you're seeing this increased potential for human ignition sources to spread to the adjacent wildland.
Is there any safe distance? I mean, a subdivision a couple of blocks in the forest? I mean, who should really be thinking about these sorts of things?
Everybody. I mean, it really, wildland fire follows the fuel, whether that home is located deep in a forest or even within an urban setting next to a dense forest or an overgrown field or flammable vegetation. And I think we often think about the menacing flame front, but really the true culprits of these things are these things called firebrands or hot embers, and they can travel through the air a mile or more and come to rest on your patio furniture or land in flammable plants or leaf debris on your roof where they can smolder and catch fire. So we can't control where those embers land, but we can control what happens when they do land.
So I don't think in terms of the fire necessarily sweeping right up through your neighborhood. Think about the fact that the fire could be a quarter of a mile away or more and have an effect on your house still.
Right. We have to deal with the firebrands. We have to deal with those hot embers, for sure.
And it occurs to me, too, that even if you do live in a subdivision, I'll tell you, after reading up on the information you provide, it forced me to think about my own neighborhood in a different context. I mean, so it's a suburban subdivision not far removed from a major highway, but there's also a curtain of trees between the subdivision and the highway.
Absolutely. And so, you know, not every home has that wonderful 30-foot buffer homes can share or have overlapping home ignition zones, is what we call it, with their neighbor. So if a fire were to occur in a dense neighborhood, you could have a home-to-home ignition situation. And that's why it's not only important to treat your own home, but it's important to get your neighbors involved in creating defensible space as well.
All right, there's a rule of thumb to assessing the risk. Where do you start?
So again, where you want to start is, you know, starting with the house and then working your way out into the landscaping. So look at your roof-to-foundation situation. You want to Is your roof, first of all, is it fire-resistant? Do you have tile or shingle or metal roof that, you know, if an ember lands there, chances are it's going to burn itself out without setting the house on fire. Next thing you want to do is check your gutters. Make sure that those are, you know, free of debris. Same with those places in your roof that can also catch, you know, leaf debris and needle debris and things like that and also catch fire. And then just work your way down to the foundation. It's, you know, what we're encouraging folks to do is really harden their home if they can, and I know that's an expensive proposition, but if they can harden their home with construction materials to create that lasting change. But when you start thinking about the less expensive things, like just putting smart practices into play around your home by reducing the hazards in the landscaping, that's also going to buy you a lot of good protection. So,
Kristen Babbs is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the Keep Oregon Green Association, fighting fires with publicity since 1941. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions about how to do defensible space around your home and what some of the practices are. Our number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. It seems like it's rare to have wood shake roofs anymore, so not so much of that. But as you have pointed out, or skirted so far anyway, is the fact that there's stuff on the roof, even if the roof itself is fireproof, that can cause you some issues.
Absolutely, and it's the most vulnerable part of your home. So you really want to focus on the roof and make sure that that's, you know, clean of debris. And then, you know, the other kind of vulnerable parts of your home as well are around the base of the house, under the decks, under the stairways and crawl spaces, you know, those things in addition to the roof and the gutter. So you want to check those as well. And really just think about, you know, what one of the main things that we're asking folks to focus on really is that landscaping, and particularly in that area that we call the home ignition zone. This is the first 30 feet that extends from the outermost part of your home or outbuildings like detached garages or sheds, and it's really important to create an area around your home that is lean, clean, and green. Those are simple things to remember. Lean meaning that landscaping consists of fire-resistant plants that are pruned up, they're spaced carefully, and then clean meaning that it's free of all that natural or human combustible debris that can catch fire, and then green meaning that you're taking care of the plants, you're watering them regularly, you're keeping your lawn short and green and cutting that dead grass down to 4 inches.
Well, the effect for some homeowners is going to be something they didn't necessarily want in the first place. They're going to sacrifice a bit of shade, but they're going to sacrifice it for safety, yes?
Well, and you don't have to, you know, and that's one of the things that we try and encourage is that it doesn't have to look like a moonscape around your home. We kind of joke about it looking like the dirt donut around your house, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can incorporate fire-resistant plants, and so that's really important. You want to consider the flammability of the plants around your home. You know, it's actually, you can actually have plants around your home that will actually protect your home, but there are some that can also make it more vulnerable. So take a look at the plants that you have. If you have a lot of deciduous trees, they can block a fire's intense heat. So definitely take stock of that. And a few things to look for. Generally, fire-resistant plants have those moist, green, supple leaves. They're loosely branched, and they don't accumulate a lot of dead material within the plant. But on the other hand, those highly flammable plants, those are the ones that have, like, the aromatic leaves when you crush them. The leaf surfaces can be waxy and oily. The sap is gummy or sticky with a strong odor, and they're tightly branched. So they do collect dry leaves and materials. And so if an ember lands in those, they can burn fast, and I'm talking about your arborvitae, your juniper, your cypress, cedar hedges. Those are incredibly poor choices as screening plants around your home. You really want to avoid planting those in such a way that could lead a fire to your home.
You mentioned the deciduous trees as good blocking. I mean, are the evergreens, I mean, you mentioned a couple just now, but just as a class, are the evergreens a little less safe to have around the house?
They're really, you know, like I said, anything that has aromatic leaves when you crush them, they have that kind of substance in them. They're flammable. You don't want to have those around your house. The best way to go, and there are great resources out there. There's a book that's been published by, or a pamphlet, I should say, by Oregon State University called Fire Resistant Plants for Home Landscapes, and it provides a whole host of plants that you can put around your house that, and again, like any plant, you have to keep it watered and keep it healthy, but those plants that are native to Oregon tend to be more well adapted to temperature fluctuations here, and they don't take a lot of extra water in the summertime. So again, even if they're fire resistant and if they're not well watered, they can dry out and become a fire hazard. So you really have to think about what it is and take stock around your house and what you're planning around your house.
You mentioned the inside joke about the dirt donut. So let's talk about the ground cover itself near the house. I mean, can you have green lawn? Is it better to have a xeriscape or no water sorts of landscapes?
No, absolutely. As long as we're keeping that lawn short and green and you're cutting that grass back to 4 inches, you're going to do well. Grasses cure early. You know, as soon as we start to wind down spring and coast into summertime, those are the biggest challenges for us, especially when we have an extended spring and a kind of a late, you know, and a wet spring. The first things to cure are the grasses, and that's what catches fire first. And so if you have, you know, again, you want to look at the plants as a potential fire ladder. Plants of different heights can be arranged in such a way that once they're ignited, they can act like a ladder, carrying fire from the ground level to the shrub level and then to the tree canopy and ultimately to your house. So you want to create vertical space between those low plant fuels and the lowest limbs of the tree so that a fire can't climb along the ground and get up into the tree canopy where it's much harder for firefighters to control. So really, a good rule of thumb is when you're thinking about landscaping closer to that house, think about lean, keeping the plants low to the ground, sufficiently spaced apart so that if plants do catch on fire in this zone, they have very low flame heights and basically nowhere to go. You're starving the fire of fuel. And then as you move away from the house, and this is kind of counterintuitive to what nurseries and landscaping folks are telling you to do, but incorporate those taller plants and trees as you move further away from the home.
All right, so lean, clean, and green again. But so that's interesting, though. So the higher stuff can be further away from the house because as you get closer to the house, you want to make sure you really do starve the fire of fuels.
Absolutely.
The let's see, what was the question here about? Well, you don't want to mimic nature, basically. You don't want to have the trees too close together or anything.
Correct. You don't. So, you know, and the plants in that zone that are about 30 to 100 feet out from the house should be low growing and well irrigated. And then in this zone, you want to leave maybe 30 feet between clusters of two or three trees and then maybe 20 feet between individual trees. Just encourage a mixture of deciduous and coniferous trees in that zone. And then, you know, encourage fuel breaks. You've got maybe some driveways and gravel walkways or lawns. And then definitely want to keep those trees pruned up to 10 feet off the ground. That's a good rule of thumb.
10 feet off the ground, really, that far?
Yeah, 10 feet off the ground.
Are there some, does, I know that we talked to the Medford Fire Rescue Department recently about getting assessments. Is that a fairly standard thing from your knowledge that fire departments around Oregon will come out and help you look at the landscape with firefighters' eyes?
Well, everybody's going to conduct, you know, their business locally differently, but it is something that the Oregon Department of Forestry is encouraging, not only in the areas where the Oregon Forest Land Urban Interface Fire Protection Act has been enacted, and that's commonly known as SB 360, and that's very common law. You're going to see that it has been implemented in, from the southwest Oregon part of the state to central to up to the northeast. So in that respect, it's encouraged in those counties where that law has been implemented, and then in areas where it hasn't been implemented, we're looking to the FireWise program, and that's really to protect whole communities. So if you are looking for a home assessment, do give a call to your local fire service, you know, your local fire department or district. You can check in with the Oregon Department of Forestry. They probably would have, you know, some good resources or be able to point you in the right direction for a home assessment. But that is something that we're trying to encourage. I really sense a shift from not only fuels treatments around individual homes, but that there's a larger movement happening and that we're looking at fire-adapted communities, you know, mitigating the entire community so that if a wildfire, you know, approaches, we're, you know, everybody's protected, and that's a good thing.
I'm glad you brought this up. It is, in fact, FireWise Week in some places around the region. In fact, in the city of Ashland, it's FireWise Week right now.
Yep.
The concept is not just about denying access to a fire, but also to giving access to firefighters. So is it pretty much the same sort of landscaping that helps the fire not get in? Does it help the firefighters get in?
Oh, absolutely. And when they're looking to stage their equipment and their trucks, and if they're in a subdivision, they're looking for the homes that are, you know, that is going to provide that safe base for them. So it's really important to provide the safe access to firefighters so that they can protect your home. And not only around the home, but, you know, think about, you know, the driveway. Do they have safe access? When they respond to a call, they have to consider their personal safety. So will the driveway to your home allow them to engage the fire safely? If not, you know, definitely prune those trees along the driveway, trim back those shrubs so that a fire engine can enter and exit without running into the flame. Make sure that your address is, you know, prominent, and make sure that, you know, if you have a bridge to your home, you want to make sure that it supports the weight of the fire truck.
Right, all those things.
Yep.
The There must be examples out there, Kristen, I'm thinking, in previous fires where somebody took all the recommendations that are provided here and the fire went around their house and not through it.
Absolutely. So it's definitely possible. Wildfire doesn't have to burn everything in its path. And if you can effectively treat that home ignition zone, you can dramatically increase the chances of a home surviving. So by cleaning that property of debris and maintaining the landscape, those are the really important first steps. And absolutely, I've seen pictures after pictures and lots of examples of homes saved. So it's possible. You know, wildfire does not have to destroy homes.
No, and it can be pretty shocking sometimes. I remember years ago in the Hall Mountain Fire, which is, 20 years ago this year, seeing a house the next day where the house was intact. There was a little singeing around some of the shrubbery a few feet from the house, but the house itself made it through. It's just incredible sometimes what that does.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, it really doesn't take a lot. You know, think about this weekend or the next coming weekends and again, it doesn't take a lot of expense to just treat the landscape. You know, do the simple things. Imagine where that ember is going to land. Basically, if it can catch fire, don't let it touch the house, the deck, or the wood fencing. Really try to think about removing that flammable material and getting it away from the house's foundation, the outbuildings, the garages, the sheds, the fences, the decks, and just make sure that, you know, that everything is fuel-free. That's really what it's about. Again, lean, clean, and green.
That was a good earlier expression to harden the house just a bit. Kristen Babbs is with the Keep Oregon Green Association. Thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Good to have you. Bottom of the hour on the Exchange, here's Garrison.